I was, Harold was saying, Brother Vaughn, he said that, you know, sometimes ladies get real rowdy and riled up and chatty. And I said, well, part of that is, I says, because they're usually at home taking care of husband and kids, and this is a little bit of release for them, a little bit of freedom. And so some of them just want to cut loose. And I'll be honest with you, I understand that. I mean, I love to laugh, and there are times I just have to cut loose. And at home, and at that point, my children are usually like, Mom, we don't know you. I will do some very crazy things and goofy things, and, you know, my kids want to disown me at that point. But nevertheless, there is great joy and laughter. Laughter is medicine, and I love what Dr. Ola said. He said, inability to laugh is not holiness, it's bitterness. And I agree with him, because laughter is wonderful, and all you have to do is look at God's creation and know that he has a sense of humor. So, all right. You're bold, ladies, coming into this session. It's not a session that I want to do at all. It's a session that the Lord dealt with me on several years ago, which I'll share with you, but let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you for this prayer advance. Thank you for the wonderful truths that you have taught us from your precious word. Thanks so much for last night's session. Lord, how my heart was convicted and enriched on how we need to love our precious Savior extravagantly. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your servants. Father, I thank you for the Vaughns and just the precious fellowship we have with them. Thank you for their servant's heart. Thanks so much, Lord, for the Palmers. What a sweet spirit. What humble, godly servants. Father, thanks just for all those who are behind the scenes doing so much. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're the one who's giving the rewards and you see all and you know all. Lord, I pray for your power and your strength. Pray that this would be a help and an encouragement. Help the ladies to understand this really isn't about food. It's not about dieting. It's about a heart that is fully surrendered to our Lord in every area of life. Lord, we love you. I do pray that you would give us a much deeper and more intimate love for you. And thanks again for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we will be moving around quite a bit in the scriptures because God's word is powerful. About 3-4 years ago, I've actually lost track of time. I think it's just senility. I really don't know, but I was sitting in faculty and staff in service preparing for another semester, and that is usually a week or 2 weeks in the fall of very intense training, and we sit under some great preaching, and basically are those who come, we have guest speakers as well as Dr. Ola, Dr. Olson, and some of the other administration, and their passion and goal is to prepare us as a faculty and staff to minister to our young people. And one thing I've often realized is that you either get right with God or you get out. As Dr. Horn has often said to us, he says, if you are not surrendered fully to God and if you are not absolutely sure this is where God has called you and you do not see this as a ministry and discipling these young people, he says, then we would ask you to not continue here because this isn't a job, it's a ministry. And really, some people would make the statement, well, you're all about education. No, in the ministry, we are a disciple-making ministry, and we use education or sports or whatever else as a platform. And as I was sitting there, Dr. Olson was preaching a message from this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that means self-controlled, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And as I was sitting there, and he began to share with us that surrender is at the heart of Christian discipleship. And he talked about three words from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he said, these are three words that describe the disciple. He said, number one was focus. He said, number two is intensity. And he said, number three is discipline. And as I'm sitting there listening, and he talked about our focus needs to be passionately on Jesus Christ, on loving him and loving others. He says, and then we need to be intense. Well, that's usually not a problem with me. It's usually that people are telling me, especially my children, it's okay, Mom, calm down, because I can be very intense. And then he went on and he said these words. He said, it is also about discipline. And he says, in every area of our lives, he says, we need to be disciplined. And I'm going to read a quote from him. He said, running the Christian race requires focus, intensity, and discipline. And then he said, any area where you are out of control or undisciplined is an area that you have not surrendered to God. And I said, oh, dear. I'll say that again. He said, any area that you have not surrendered fully to God is an area, any area that you are out of control or undisciplined is an area that you are unsurrendered to God. And the Lord, right there sitting in that chair, nailed me about my eating habits. And I remember sitting there, and I don't remember much else of the message. Because at that point, the Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart in this area of my eating. And I wish I could say to you that I immediately said, yes, Lord, I agree with you. I know I'm out of control in this area, but let's, you know, and forgive me. But I began to make excuses. I began to argue, and I thought, Lord, don't ask me to do this. I mean, isn't that terrible? That was my first thought. I said, Lord, please, everybody else is doing it. You know, and Father, please, this is the one thing that I enjoy so much. And I remember thinking, Lord, I don't have my husband. I've got these three children, and I'm working, and I'm a single parent. I said, please, please don't ask me to give this up. Well, obviously, God's not going to ask you to give up food altogether. And that was the other thing. I thought, you know, you have to eat. I mean, when my dad, my father, again, unsaved man, but for 45 years, he was a heavy smoker. And he one day just decided, he looked at my mother and he said, Myra, that's it. He took his cigarettes and dumped them. That was the end of it. Now, he struggled, but still, to best of my knowledge, he never took, you know, another cigarette. But for us, and I sat there, I thought, but I can't do that with food. I can't just turn around and say, okay, refrigerator, you're out of here. I'm never going to eat again. Can't do that. So I wrestled with the Lord for days. I don't even know how long it was. And I said, Lord, please, please, I enjoy this so much. It really is one of the ways that I relax. It's comforting. And the Lord kept nailing me. Who are you looking to for comfort? Who are you looking to? And I'm like, I'm not going to win this battle, am I? And so I reached a point because I remember, hopefully you've picked up on this, ladies, as I travel and as I speak, that my heart beats for total and absolute surrender. Luke 14, you know, and I share this in my testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it abundantly clear that to be his disciple, we must surrender all. We must love him supremely. He must be Lord, and we must forsake all. And then I thought of these scriptures. What know ye not that your what? Are the of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Let me put it this way. God owns me. I am not free to choose my own way. I am not free to eat what I want, when I want, in whatever quantities I want. That's a quote by Nancy DeMoss, by the way. It's not original with me. God owns me. You are not your own. And then he goes on to say, you are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God how? In your body and in your spirit, which are? Now, I don't know that the Lord can get any clearer than that. And he got very clear with me. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We know the verses. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Well, I also remember something that happened when my parents came out to visit when I was teaching at college, and I will never forget. Now, my dad, again, World War II veteran, extremely disciplined man, spent, you know, he turned 18 in December of 1941 and went right into the war and was a combat medic and was very, very disciplined. He was a fireman, he was a policeman, he was a security guard, and I will never forget when he came to the college. And I won't repeat his words because my dad was known for his blunt honesty. And he took me aside and he said, Carol, he says, you have a lot of undisciplined women here. And I'm rephrasing his words. And he looked at me and I was one of them. I was one of them. And I'm like, ah, thanks, Dad. And I mean, it just hit me. But what really hit me is that I was hindering my influence and my witness. Now, ladies, again, I know this is hard because I've walked through it and I've lived through it. And ladies, it's not about eating. It's not about dieting. It's about any area. An out-of-control tongue is a hindrance to your witness. An out-of-control, thought life. You say, well, other people don't see that. God sees it. And it hinders your fellowship with him. You know, an out-of-control spending, a woman who spends too much money, if I'm out of control in any area, I am hindering my influence and witness for our precious Lord. Now, hopefully you understand that I am not in any way going to emphasize outward over inward, because what does God see? And I'm thankful for that. But what does man see? And ladies, man cannot see our heart. And therefore, as I walk intimately with my God, and as I love him, as we learned last night, as Mary did, and as I walk step by step, and I am a worshiper before a worker, and as I am walking with him, then I need to have every part of my outward reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I don't want to draw too much attention to the outward where people are like, whoa, you know. And I mean, you've probably seen, I've seen ladies who have enough jewelry. And I mean, literally, you could cut the makeup with a knife. And I mean, obviously, that's drawing the wrong kind of attention. But equally is when I do not keep myself and I do not take care of myself, I am also not reflecting the character of my Lord. And it's interesting to me that I often have ladies come into class, married women, godly women, who I feel are examples of virtuous women. And when they come into class to help some of our students to learn, you know, learn how to be wives, learn how to be mothers. And one of the ladies, she and her husband are on deputation. You may know them, Tony and Pam Fox, the Foxes. And she came in one time and was sharing from her heart, and I was saying, just want you to share what are some things and how you've learned to be a helper to your husband. And she said, I sat down with my husband and asked him, and one of the things that Dr. Fox said, he says, I appreciate, Pam, that you've taken care of yourself and kept yourself up. And that's something my dad said. He said, Carol, he says, your mother, and my mom is 84, and to this day, she puts me to shame. She puts many women to shame because she is the epitome of she has kept herself in excellent health and excellent shape. And my mother amazes me. She's the epitome to me, and she's not even a saved woman. And she is such a helper. She was. My dad, of course, just passed away, to my father. And that even my kids, you know, my son, and he doesn't miss anything. He says, you know, Grammy is really an example. And so, ladies, I want to talk to you today about three areas in particular. And again, I'm speaking to myself because this is what God dealt with my own heart in this, and I fought him. And I struggled in this, and as I had to go back to the scripture and I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to understand? And the Lord really ministered to me, and again, it's not about dieting. It really isn't. It's not about food, it's about my heart. Is my heart, is your heart fully surrendered to your Lord in every area? There are no exceptions. That's why the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, in those little simple things, I am to bring glory to God. That means to reflect his unique excellence, to reflect his majesty, his power, and his glory. And when others see us, ladies, are they drawn to your Savior or are they drawn away from your Savior? And so the first thing I want to share is we need to be vessels of godly surrender. Vessels of godly surrender. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members. Okay, that's these. Every part of me is instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey as servants ye are, to whom ye obey whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And ladies, again, your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, all of us, if we're honest, you know, especially in fundamental circles, we'll say, I know that I shouldn't smoke because it's not good for my body. And that's true. And we know that we shouldn't drink, you know, and we obviously drunkenness is sin and it is not good for our bodies. But ladies, what are some of the major health problems that we have result, or what do some of them result from? And medical people will, you know, and medicine and the doctors will tell you many, many of our health problems with men and women are because we are overeating and under-exercising. Too much food, too little activity. And that can be a cause of heart disease, high blood pressure, and the list goes on and on. And I have to go back. If my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then what I'm putting into it does matter. Does matter. And I did have some health issues. I had an extremely high cholesterol. I remember one doctor telling me, your cholesterol is super high. And I'm like, oh well, we're all going to die someday. You know, I mean, I I would find more excuses. I was an expert at justifying. And you know, every time I start to play the justifying game, I know I'm in trouble. But I still do it, sadly. And so, again, surrender means to relinquish possession or control of to another, to give oneself up to another. And so the first thing I had to realize in surrendering is, what was my motive? What was my motive? And the Lord had to deal with my heart. Ladies, it couldn't be because I wanted to get into a size 4, which I never will. It couldn't be because I wanted to look better. It couldn't be because you know, I just want other people to think that I'm thin. All of those motives were wrong. It couldn't be because it's my New Year's resolution and I'm just going to diet because I've got to get this area under control. And you think, well, that's true. But my motive had to be only one. I need to relinquish control of my eating habits to the Lord because he owns me and because it will bring him glory. The fruit of the Spirit is charity, love, in other words, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, temperance. I do not see that our Lord was out of control in any area. And in 1 Corinthians 9, as we looked at, Paul said, if we're going to strive for the mastery and we're going to finish the race and win the prize, we must be self-controlled in all things, no exceptions. No exceptions. And so I had to realize, Carol, this isn't about dieting. It's about my heart. It's like people say, well, I have a problem with giving. No, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. And I had to say, Lord, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to relinquish control in this area of eating. Because then I asked this question, well, what are the areas of surrender? Everything. No exceptions. My thought life surrendered to God. My words surrendered to God. This body surrendered to God. Every single part, what I eat, when I eat, every single part. You know, you say, well, that sounds like radical Christianity. You got it. Another quote from Dr. Ola. So many Christians live at such a subnormal life that the normal Christian to them is abnormal. In other words, normal Christianity is absolute abandonment to the cause of Jesus Christ, loving him and his word supremely. And, you know, you say, well, that's pretty fanatic. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Jesus calls us to exclusive devotion. He makes no bones about that. In Mark chapter 12, the Bible says we are to love the Lord Jesus Christ, love our Lord, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. In other words, with all of my understanding, my mind, I am to love my God with every thought. With all of my heart, with all of my emotions and my convictions, with all of my soul, with every breath of my being, and with all of my strength, I am to pour every part of me into loving and serving and knowing my God. That's normal Christianity. If you look through the scriptures. And so I had to say, Lord, I am going to surrender this area to you. Well, the second step, not only a vessel of godly surrender, but I had to be now a vessel of godly submission. So now I've surrendered, but now there's submission. And submission means to line or rank under. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says these words. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, before God. Therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So I had to make the choice to submit my eating habits to the Lord. It was one thing, okay, I'm going to surrender. No more fighting, I'm relinquishing control. But now I'm going to line up under. I'm going to rank under. And in order to do that, I had to ask myself the question, well, how do I go about doing this? Now, again, ladies, I'm trained in this area. I mean, my training was science, biochemistry, nutritional biochemistry. But there's one area that, you know, we all think, we says, why is it that so many people, you know, don't succeed? 97% of those women who go on diets end up gaining it all back and then some. You say, why? Well, because they're looking for the quick fix rather than the long haul. And I had to think, okay, I'm going to submit, but I had to realize this is not going to be, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 10 days, not going to happen. It took me a long time to build up and establish wrong patterns, and now I have to change that. And in submitting, I had to understand that I need help. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, ladies. I believe sometimes the reason so many fall back into sinful patterns is we lack accountability. And that's something that I knew. I says, you know what? I'm going to need help in this. I'm going to need accountability, because I know if I don't have that, I'm probably going to go right back to the way I used to be. And so we had, through our college at that time, we had two of our full-time registered nurses, and they were doing a program called Uncommon Vessels. Now, you might have seen that book back there. It is by Elise Fitzpatrick. Excellent. And what it was is that they said, if you want to do this, you want to bring your eating habits under submission to the Lord, then, you know, you want to be a part of this, come see us. Well, we did. And I went over there, and she gave us the book. It was a Bible study, and what it did, it doesn't tell you this is a diet. It gives you biblical guidelines, all right? What discipline is, why our eating habits need to be submitted to God, and you go through every single week a Bible study. And it was phenomenal. I mean, just on, I thought I had no idea, you know, how important this was. And we had to weigh in. I mean, we walked in the first day. We had to weigh in. We had to sign some things saying that we're committed to the long haul. We had to set goals. And then guess what? My children had to sign that they would help and hold me accountable. If you're married, your husband. So Sarah had to sign it. Caleb had to sign it. And of course, they were delighted to sign this. You know, and Rebecca, that you're going to help mom stay accountable. And believe me, they will. So, you know, and we had to start, we had a chart, we had to write down everything that we ate, we had to write down how much water we drank, we had to write down when we had devotions, how much exercise we did, and ladies, I'll be honest with you, I was absolutely floored, because I'm not kidding you, I must have been putting away 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day. I had no idea how much I was eating, because I would do this, I would sit down and I would just keep eating and just keep eating. And just keep eating. This is the book, by the way, Uncommon Vessels. I'll hold this up in just a few minutes. But I would keep eating, and then I love to night munch. And I'll be honest with you, I found something else out. I found out I was eating most of the time when I wasn't even hungry. I mean, at breakfast time, I would eat, and then I would find myself munching, and especially after dinner. I love to make chocolate chip cookies for my kids, but I would eat a mound of cookie dough in the process. And I would eat, and I'd sit here, I've got to have my hot chocolate before I go to bed, and eat, and eat, and eat, and eat. And I didn't realize, and I thought, you know what? Food controls me. And I had no idea. I had no idea. And as I'm writing this down and exercise, and I thought, I don't want to do this. You know, and I mean, I just began to go through this program, and probably about 3 days into it, ladies, I realized, I thought, Lord, I am not surrendered or broken at all in this area. I mean, all I could think about was food. I was getting irritable and angry and frustrated, you know, and I'm like, just give me something to eat. And I remember one of the gentlemen who is now going through a program at the college because of something that we've started for our faculty and staff, and he says, I would open the refrigerator and just look. And he said, I would just keep looking. And he says, and finally I would close the refrigerator door. He says, now, it used to be 20 minutes, it's gotten better, you know. But I would sit there, and I realized, and I thought, Lord, you know what? This isn't about dieting. This isn't about eating. What God showed me is that I was not a broken vessel. I was not a surrendered vessel at all. And it was not about what I was going to accomplish through the program. It was what God was going to teach me in the process. And what he taught me, again, is that I am desperately dependent on him for everything, including even what I'm eating. And when I eat, and how much I eat. And I would put a plate down for dinner, and I would look at it, and I would say, that's it? I was shocked, because we did have to set some calories. Now, let me say this, ladies. We were not allowed. The nurses says, we will not allow you to do any fad diets. None. You may not go on these crazy diets. You may not go on anything that excludes any one of the different food groups. And there's a reason for that. And as a biochemist, I understood that. They says you can't go on a diet that excludes carbs or fat or anything. You must be on something that is balanced nutritionally, and you're not, unless there's for health reasons, to exclude any food. Unless it's for health reasons. And the reason for that is that this was something we had to understand was a life change. It wasn't where, you know, I'm going to go on this and then I go back. It's the same with, and they're good programs. Don't misunderstand me. You know, Jenny Craig, they're good programs, but I can't eat out of boxes all my life. I have to learn how to cook and how to prepare foods. And so we had to make that commitment, and I was looking at portions, and of course calories were cut, and I would sit here and I would be finished, and I could have eaten five more plates sometimes, fulls. And I had to learn to slow down. And literally, before I would eat, I would have to say, Lord, before I open my mouth, give me the grace to eat in a way that honors you and to exercise self-control. I said, Lord, I can't do this without you. Would you please help me? And I'd do that pretty much, you know, day in and day out for almost every meal. And again, what did God reveal? I wasn't a broken vessel, and how desperately I needed him. And I had to submit to him, and I had to commit to obey. In submission, I submit my eating habits. I commit to obey. In other words, I go back to right thinking leads to right feelings, leads to right actions. We live in a culture that lives by feelings. We live in a culture, if it feels good, do it. You know, be all you can be. Have it your way. You know, I mean, on and on, it feeds your flesh, and I had to realize self-control. I've just eaten. I don't need to keep eating. I need to stop. And I had to commit to obey, and I had to bring every thought, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and word and action captive and obedient to Christ. And I had to commit to persevere. So in submission, ladies, I had to submit, I had to obey, I had to persevere. And this probably was the hardest part. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5 say, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Patience was the hardest thing, because I knew this was the long haul. And again, the nurses said, we don't want you to lose more than 2 pounds per week, because anything more than that is unhealthy, and anything more than that can actually do damage. And I'm talking, we're talking a commitment and a perseverance, and that was hard. Ladies like you, I am flesh, I am weak. Sometimes people say, well, you're a strong Christian. I'm very weak. My God is strong. And he is my strength. And again, this was all what God was trying to teach me, is that I need to be helplessly dependent on him in everything. Just like that little child. When Jesus, remember, he took the little child and he placed the little child. And he says, except you be converted like this child, you will not, you know, enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? A child is what? Totally dependent, helpless, trusting. And I realized, I thought, even in such a simple thing as eating, which I have to do, and that's another thing, since I have to do what I have to need, I need God's grace to do this. So it was the commitment to persevere, the long haul, no quick fixes, no fad diets. This is a change in life patterns. And let me say, ladies, you can change. You can change. We live in a day where I'm just this way and I'm never going to change. No, I will stress individual responsibility. You are responsible for your choices. You can change, but change is hard and it takes time. But God will take you all the way through as you commit to obey and surrender moment by moment, second by second. And if we're honest, sometimes I think if we realize how dependent are we on the Lord, we ask ourselves that question. You know, if I were a newly married woman and my husband were to sit me down and he'd say, okay, you got 15 minutes, tell me everything that you want me to know about today. Ask me anything you want, and then I'm going to take 15 minutes and I'm going to tell you the things I desire, and then you ignored each other for the rest of the day and night, would you have a vibrant marriage? But how many of us will have our devotions, we'll read our Bible, we'll say our prayers, we'll close our Bible, and we'll spend pretty much the rest of the day and the night acting independent of God and doing our own thing and working and walking in the arm of the flesh? And what I was learning is that, Lord, I need to be dependent on you for every step I take, for everything that I eat, for everywhere that I go, for every thought. It's the life of unconditional, absolute abandonment and surrender. So it was the long haul. And believe me, ladies, I really struggled. I had no idea how uncontrolled I was in this area. And I mean, when it came, I mean, my devotions, and we had to write down our devotions, but exercise, didn't like it. You say, what bodily exercise profiteth little? I understand, but it does profit little. And so I said, all right, I'm committed to this. My kids were trying to help me through it, and I would go and get on the scale. Sometimes I would be very encouraged. Other times I would be very discouraged. Did I have setbacks? Did I fail? The answer to that is yes. We're human. But, you know, though a righteous man falls seven times, yet he rises up again. So when I would blow it, I would say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. I'm committed to persevere. Let's keep going. And by the way, one thing I found about myself as well is if I blew it one day, I thought, well, I've already blown it. Let's go to the hilt. Again, wicked, wicked, wicked heart. Well, I've already blown it, Lord, so I might as well blow it really good. You know, wrong. Wrong. Carol, are you surrendered? Are you submitted? But we all sin. Excuses. So a vessel of godly surrender, a vessel of godly submission, and a vessel, finally, of godly self-control. Some scripture here. Proverbs chapter 23, a vessel of godly self-control. Proverbs 23 and verse 21. The Bible says, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now, God is equating a glutton in the same category as what? A drunkard. And what does he say? You will come to poverty. Now, Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. In other words, a city that is broken down without walls is open to all kinds of enemy attack. And ladies, if I am not, the battle's here for the mind. If my mind is not controlled by the Spirit of God, and may I say this, what you dwell on will control you. If my mind is not under subjection and controlled by the Spirit of God, I am open to all kinds of enemy attack. And something else that was said to me that really hit me is if I'm out of control in one area, chances are I'm out of control in other areas as well. Because surrender is absolute. And so as a vessel of godly self-control, I understand that everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Now, ladies, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ, are we not? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier is disciplined. Now, I know this because I grew up and my dad drilled into me truths of discipline. And I mean, I heard World War II stories. I watched so many 1940s, 1930 World War II movies. I love them, by the way. But I mean, I grew up and discipline, discipline, discipline. I mean, my dad drilled at times. I mean, if there was a dish in the sink, you know, discipline was important to him because when the battle cry went out, When general quarters was sounded, what would happen if people said, oh, I don't feel like it? Or they pushed the snooze button. I had to make a decision a long time ago that the snooze button does not exist. I had to, because it's not an option. And I mean, literally, Dad said, when that went off, you had to move so fast and be at your quarters, because if you weren't, all those lives could depend on whether you were in control and disciplined. And I mean, again, watching those old movies in World War II and seeing it, I thought, this is not a laughing matter, this is serious. And God, in His Word, when He inspired Paul, says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. And I asked my father, I said, Daddy, did it ever occur to you to disobey your commanding officer? And without one second's hesitation, he looked at me and he said, never. He says, when they told you to spit, you spit. He says, they told you what to eat, when to go to bed, when to get up, when to go to the bathroom. I mean, they told you everything. And he says, you mess with them, you're in trouble. And I mean, my son just finished basic and advanced into individualized training. And I mean, that boy came back. And I asked him, I said, so, how was it? And he said to me, he said, well, he was telling us some stories. They had to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night because I was looking at the form. And I mean, you couldn't talk, 9 o'clock lights out, 4 o'clock in the morning. One morning when the lights went on, he did not get up. Well, they don't come over and tap you and say, you need to get up. The drill sergeant came over and flips you out of the bed. And you have to do some tough duty. And I can remember he told me, he says, if my clothes were not absolutely perfect, exactly as they told us to do them, if they weren't hung up right, if they weren't put away, he says, the drill sergeants would not come in and say, fix it. They would take everything out of the drawer and throw them, and they'd say, start over. And they would do this, and I mean, you learned to do exactly, and I have his DVD of what he went through in basic training, and I thought, I couldn't do that. They had to go in a gas chamber, and they had to breathe poisonous gas. And they made them take the masks off and hold their breath, and they made them open their mouth and recite the soldier's creed. And I mean, then they had to breathe, and they were all choking and all this, and then they had to, they put them out, and they said, okay, breathe and do this. What are they doing? They're training them to be soldiers. And they had to learn to die to themselves. And I looked at the soldier EOS, the philosophy of them, and I thought, boy, these sound like Christian principles. Never quit. Never leave a fallen comrade. Loyalty to others. Selfless service. I thought, how interesting. But when he came back, I remember that he would go and he would meet with some of the men. And whereas before, you know, he wasn't that as respectful, but when he would be introduced, he would stand and he'd say, yes, sir. I thought, wow. Endure hardness, self-control. Ladies, who is your master? You are called to please him who hath called you to be a soldier. That means you must be disciplined. Four questions we're going to end with this to ask with regards to, and this is true in any area, by the way, not just food, but this is, I hope, will be helpful to you. Four questions, again, these are not original with me. First question, is it best? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and verse 10, chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Let's make it personal. Is it in my best interest to eat this food right now? Am I eating to strengthen and nourish my body for the service and glory of God, or to gratify my flesh? Is it best? Am I eating to gratify my flesh or for the service and glory of God? Number two, does it build? 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Will eating this food help or hinder my physical and spiritual life? They're all interrelated. Will eating this food help or hinder my physical and spiritual life? Will this cause me to be a stumbling block to someone else? Now, ladies, again, I say this because it's been true in my own life. Is my appearance in any way drawing away someone to the point of where they say, you know what, I don't know that I want to follow your Savior? Am I in any way, and that can be overemphasizing or underemphasizing, and again, it might be a tongue, it might be spending habits, am I doing anything that will cause someone to say, I don't know? And my children have helped me in this. And they have made some statements, which I won't repeat because they're personal, but they have been a help to me in this area. You know, Mom, when you need to do something about this because this is a hindrance. Thirdly, does it bind? 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Ladies, are you in bondage to food? Will eating this food enslave you? Are you controlled by food? And I know it's accepted in fundamental circles, but the fact that it's accepted does not mean it brings glory to God. And ladies, again, I am to be a vessel of godly self-control. I am to be disciplined in any area. And finally, 1 Corinthians 10:31, does it glorify God? Are my eating habits bringing glory to God? Are my eating habits bringing glory to God? Remember who you reflect, ladies. You reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're married, you reflect your husband. And if you have children, you reflect your children. Do I in any way cause my children, my husband, or my Lord to be ashamed of me? And again, I don't want to overemphasize or underemphasize. Do our eating habits really matter to the Lord when we consider that our entire purpose in life is to magnify and glorify our God, who, by the way, the Bible says, is exceedingly majestic and beautiful? Beauty is of the Lord, and beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So don't think, well, you know, I used to think, Lord, I was just born ugly. That's just the way it is. No, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. But understand that I am to take care of what God has given me. I'm to take care of my health. I'm to take care of these things because they reflect. I am to give an accurate opinion of who our God is. And when you read the scriptures, you see that he is an altogether lovely being. And that means that in my thought life and in my words, I am to give a proper opinion of who he is. My words are to reflect graciousness. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace. My appearance is to give an accurate opinion of the Lord. Now again, it all goes back to the heart. Don't misunderstand me. Because a heart, you can have an outward appearance that looks good and a heart that stinks. Uh-uh. The heart is the key. But a surrendered heart should be fully surrendered and should want to reflect the character of Christ. And again, we must love him supremely, and therefore eating is no different than any other area of my life. It's no different. Ladies, we must be choosing to be vessels of godly surrender, godly submission, and self-control in every area. We're soldiers. Life is not about us. It's all about him and impacting others for the glory of God. Let me close with a quote. Jesus' disciples were permitted to retain no privileges and make no demands. They were to safeguard no cherished sins, treasure no earthly possessions, and cling to no secret self-indulgences. Ladies, the Christian life is about denying yourself. Their commitment to him must be without reservation. It is an absolute, unconditional surrender. So it's really not about eating, is it? It's about surrender. This is the book, you know, as we close. It is a Bible study. I believe there are 40 chapters that you go through. There is accountability here. She has guidelines for what you should do, you know, what you shouldn't do. She has a daily diary here. This is a book I have not read, Love to Eat, Hate to Eat, but I can highly recommend Uncommon Vessels. And ladies, you can do this by the grace of God. It's an area of total and complete dependence. Let's close in prayer.